Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rav Avram Golder, and today we're Masechta Sukkah Daf Chav Tes, the end of the second parak Yashin Tachas Amita, and the beginning of the third parak Luv Hagazel. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. The Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches Amabei stated, Yardu Gushamim Me'emesai Mutu Lefanos Mishetisra Chamikpa. If rain was falling into the sukkah, at what point is it permitted to even go into the house when the rainfall is so intense that the porridge gets ruined? It was thought in a brace on Arduf that if one was eating in a sukkah and it began raining and he left the sukkah and continued his meal in his house, even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back into the sukkah until he finishes his meal and wishes to eat another meal. Rashi explains that once he sat down to continue his meal, he's no longer chayav to return to the sukkah even if it stops raining. Similarly, if one was sleeping in the sukkah and it began raining, and he left his sukkah and went to sleep in his house, even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back in the sukkah until it becomes light when dawn begins to break. Point number two, the Mishnah brought a mushroom from when one is forced out of the sukkah because of rain. To what does this compare? To a slave who comes to pour wine for his master and he poured a pitcher of water on his face. The one on this stuff brings a brisa that clarifies that it is as if the master spilled a pitcher of water on the slave's face and said to him, "Yepshe b'shimashcha, I do not desire your service." The Gemara then digresses to discuss other natural occurrences which serve as an omen of Hashem's dissatisfaction with the world. It was taught in a brisa, Rabbi Meir says, "Kol zman shemo'oros lokin, simen lalos soneim shel Yisrael." When the celestial bodies are stricken, it is a bad omen for the Jewish people. We assume that the omen is intended for them, because they are accustomed to their blows, meaning that the Jewish people are accustomed to punishment. This is analogous to a teacher of young children who comes to school with a strap in his hand. Who is worried about the impending punishment? The child who is accustomed to being hit every day is the one that worries. And point number three, the opening version of the third parak states, Lulav ha-gazel v'yavish pasul, a stolen lulav or a dry one is pasul. The Gemara points out that the Mishnah does not distinguish between the first day of Yantav or the second day of the Chag, and asks that while it's understandable that a dry lulav is pasul on any day, because hadar be'inan v'leika, we require that the lulav possesses beauty all 7 days, and this is lacking when the lulav is dry. But for a stolen lulav, it's only understandable that on the first day of the Chag, it's pasul. Because it is written, Lechem, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day, the dalad meaning, which implies Mishalachem, it should be your own property. But why on the second day of the Chag should the stolen lulav be pasul? Rav Yochanan said, in the name of Rishim Bar Yochai, Mishum Dehavle Mitzvah Hababa Aver, because it's a mitzvah that's brought about through an avera, and an object that's acquired through an avera is unfit for use in the performance of a mitzvah. So once again, the 3 points are number one, the Mishnah Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis stated, Yardu Gishamim Me'emesai Mutu Lefanos Mishetisvach HaMikpah. If rain was falling into the sukkah, at what point is it permitted to leave and go into the house? When the rainfall is so intense, the porridge gets ruined. It was taught in Brice and Arduf that if one was eating in a sukkah and it began raining, and he left the sukkah and continued his meal in his house, even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back in the sukkah until he finishes his meal and wishes to eat another meal. Rashi explains that once he sat down to continue his meal, he's no longer chayav to return to the sukkah even if it stops raining. Similarly, if one was sleeping in the sukkah and it began raining, and he left his sukkah and he went to sleep in his house, even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back into the sukkah until it becomes light when dawn begins to break. Point number two, the Mishnah brought a mashal for when one is forced out of the sukkah because of rain. To what does this compare? To a slave who comes to pour wine for his master, and he poured a pitcher of water on his face. The Gemara on this stuff brings a brisa that clarifies that it is as if the master spilled a pitcher of water on the slave's face and said to him, "Yepshe b'shimashcha, I do not desire your service." The Gemara then digresses to discuss other natural occurrences which serve as an omen of Hashem's dissatisfaction with the world. It was taught in a brisa, Rabbi Meir says, "Kol zman shemo'oros lokin, simen lalos soneim shel Yisrael." When the celestial bodies are stricken, it is a bad omen for the Jewish people. We assume that the omen is intended for them, because they are accustomed to their blows, meaning that the Jewish people are accustomed to punishment. This is analogous to a teacher of young children who comes to school with a strap in his hand, who's worried about the impending punishment? The child who's accustomed to being hit every day is the one that worries. And point number three, the opening mission of the third parak states, Lulav gazva yavish pasul, a stone lulav, or a dry one is pasul. The Gemara points out that the Mishnah does not distinguish between the first day of Yantav or the second day of the Chag, and asks that while it's understandable that a dry lulav is pasul on any day, Because Hadar Be'inin and Baleika, we require that the lulav possesses beauty all 7 days, and this is lacking when the lulav is dry. But for a stone lulav, it's only understandable that on the first day the chag is possible, because it's written, Lachem, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day the dalad meaning, which implies Mishal Lachem. They should be your own property. But why on the second day of the chag should a stolen lulav be possible? Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Shimon bar Yochai, Mishum dehabri mitzvah hababa avera, because it's a mitzvah that's brought about through an avera. An object that's acquired through an avera is unfit for use in the performance of a mitzvah. All right, so now we go to Simmer Dav Chav Tes, and our standard simmon is a cot. A cot. So here goes. As the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief who tried to sneak in and steal his lulav. Once again, slow motion. As the empty cot, that must be one Dav Chav Tes. As the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain while the family ate inside, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brights that if one was eating in a sukkah and it began raining and he left the sukkah and continued his meal in his house, that even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back into the sukkah until he finishes his meal and wishes to eat another meal. Rashi explains that once he sat down to continue his meal, he's no longer chayev to return to the sukkah, even if it stops raining. And similarly, if one was sleeping in the sukkah and began raining and he left his sukkah and went to sleep in his house, even if it stops raining, we do not trouble him to go back to the sukkah until it becomes light when dawn begins to break. So as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief, which reminds us the Mishnah brought a mashal for when one is forced out of the sukkah because of rain, to what is compared to a slave who came to pour wine for his master, and he poured a pitcher of water on his face. The Gemara here brings a brice that clarifies that it's as if the master spilled a pitcher of water on the slave's face and said to him, I don't desire your service. So as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief who tried to sneak in and steal his lulav. Which reminds the opening mission of the third parak states, a lulav ha-gazel ba-yavish puzzle. A stolen lulav or a dry one is puzzle. Gemara asks regarding a stolen lulav that it's understandable that on the first day of the chag, it's puzzle because it's written lachem, you shall take for yourselves on the first day the dal of meaning, which implies mishalachem, they should be your own property. But why on the second day of the chag should a stolen lulav be puzzle? Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, mishum dehavli mitzvah hababa aver, because it's a mitzvah that's brought about through an avera. An object that's acquired through an avera is unfit for use in the performance of a mitzvah. So once again, as the empty cot in the sukkah got soaked from the rain while the family ate inside, the master poured a pitcher on the face of a thief who tried to sneak in and steal his lulav. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf Chaf Hei. So the Simcha Chaf Hei is a silver anniversary. So here goes.
The husband who came late to his own silver anniversary dinner. Silver anniversary? That must be more Daf Chaf Hei. The husband who came late to his own silver anniversary dinner on Sukkot and tried to excuse himself by claiming he was involved in another mitzvah, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Shulchei mitzvah betorim min ha-sukkah. Those on a mitzvah mission are pater from the mitzvah of sukkah. The Gemara brings the pasuk from Kriyat Shema, v'shivdecha b'beisecha v'lechtecha b'derech. And Rav Huna said the pasuk obligates one to recite Shema when sitting or going, only when these activities are k'derech, comparable to the way. Ma derech rishus av kol rishus v'fukihai de b'mitzvah asuk. Just as one takes to the way for discretionary purposes, so to all situations mentioned in the pasuk refer to those involved in a discretionary act, which comes to exclude this person involved in the mitzvah. So the husband came late to his own silver anniversary dinner on Sukkot and tried to excuse himself by claiming he was involved in another mitzvah, and then a mace mitzvah, which reminds the Gemara brings another source for osik b'mitzvah, patamina mitzvah, from Pesach Sheni, with those that were tummy from being osik in the mace mitzvah, and teaches why both sources are necessary. If the Torah had only taught the principle from Pesach Sheni, one might have thought, mishum d'lamatiz man chiyub the Pesach. It's permissible because the chiyub of the garment Pesach had not arrived yet when they did the mitzvah of mace mitzvah. But here, regarding the time of Kriyat Shema, when the time of the mitzvah has arrived, one could say there's no exemption. And if it had been learned from Kriyat Shema, one might have thought it's because there's no Issacharis for failure to perform the second mitzvah. Whereas in the case of the Pesach, when there is an Issacharis, one would not be pater. So the husband who came late to his own silver anniversary dinner on Sukkot and tried to excuse himself by claiming he was involved in another mitzvah and then a mace mitzvah couldn't stop feeling like a mourner as he sat alone in the sukkah the rest of the night. Which reminds us, Rabbi Abba Rezavda said in the name of Rav, Avel chai b'sukkah, Amor is chai in the mitzvah of sukkah. And one might have thought that since Rabbi Abba Rezavda said in the name of Rav, Matzdara patamin sukkah, one who experiences distress is patam from sukkah, so to a mourner. So Rabbi Abba Rezavda is coming to teach, Hanimili tzar de mamela, this implies only when the distress is inherent in the sukkah. But here, Ihu dekab Matzdara nafshe, it's he who's causing distress by dwelling on his loss. Iboilu suvi daiti, he's required to calm his mind from his grief and enable himself to perform the mitzvah of dwelling in a sukkah. Daf Chavav. So the Simra Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The army medics on duty during the military coup. Military coup? That must be more Daf Chavav. The army medics on duty during the military coup who carried the chol with a headache on a stretcher and were patur from mitzvah sukkah. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had stated, chol misham shem patur min sukkah. The sick and their attendants are patur from the mitzvah sukkah. And it was taught in a braisa, this applies to even a chol whose life is not in danger. Afil chash be'enav, afil chash be'roshu. Even if he merely has an eyeache or a headache. So the army medics on duty during the military coup who carried the chol with a headache on a stretcher and were patur from mitzvah sukkah shouted into their bullhorn to wake up the soldiers dozing outside, which reminds us that the Mishnah had stated of Ochin Achilas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah, one may eat lightly outside the sukkah, and a brice was brought to taught, Ochin Achilas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah, Ein Yishen 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 Arai Chutz L'Sukkah, one may eat lightly outside the sukkah, but one may not nap outside the sukkah. Ravashi said, Gezer Shema Yeradem, the Rabbanim were gozer against napping, lest one fall into a deep sleep. Rava gave an alternative reason why one should nap outside the sukkah, in kvaloshena. There's no fixed minimum for regular sleep. That is, even light sleep has the halakhic status of regular sleep, because a nap can also refresh a person. So the army medics on duty during the military coup, who carried the chol with a headache on a stretcher and were patur from mitzvah sukkah, shouted into their bullhorn to wake up the soldiers dozing outside, next to the sleeping horse. Which reminds us, Rav said, Asal Adam Lisham B'yom Yosem Hashena Sus. It's forbidden for a person to sleep by day longer than a horse asleep. And how long is a horse asleep? Shitsin Nishme, 60 respirations. Rashi explains that it's forbidden because of Bizzle Torah. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning. Dav Chav Zayin, so the Simra Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo, that must be more Dav Chav Zayin. The boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo straight for the amount of time it takes to eat 14 su'udos, which reminds us, as Malkokas Rabbi Gazim the Chachamim, regarding how many su'udos one must eat in the sukkah based on the concept of teshukein teduro. Rabbi Yezer says one must eat 14 su'udos, since in one's house, he eats one meal during the day and one during the night. And the Chachamim say there's no fixed amount except for the first night, because they hold, in a house, if one wants to eat, he eats, and if he doesn't want to eat, he doesn't. So the boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo straight for the amount of time it takes to eat 14 su'udos, who then left the sukkah and went into a second sukkah to do it again, which reminds us, it's a malkokas Rabbi Yezer and the Chachamim whether one can use two different sukkos based on the pasuk of Chagas Sukkos Tasel Chashivas Yamim. Rabbi Yezer holds one must erect a sukkah that is fit for all 7 days, and the Chachamim hold Ases Sukkah B'Chag, meaning if one only requires a sukkah for one day, he must erect a sukkah. So the boy who drove his neighbors crazy playing his kazoo straight for the amount of time it takes to eat 14 su'udos, who then left the sukkah and went to a second sukkah to do it again, was immediately escorted home because he was told he must only play in a sukkah that was his family's possession. Which reminds us, it's a Malkus Reyes and the Chachamim, whether one can fulfill his chiyuv by dwelling in his friend's sukkah. Rabbi Yezer holds that just as a person does not fulfill his chiyuv to take a luv on the first day of sukkahs with his friend's luv, based on v'lakach t'mochem, so too a person cannot fulfill his chiyuv by dwelling in his friend's sukkah, for it's written, Chagas sukkahs ta'asel l'chosh yivaz yamim. A Chagas sukkahs you shall make for yourselves for 7 days, from which we derive mishalacha, the sukkah must be from your own possessions. The Chachamim say that one can fulfill his chiyuv in his friend's sukkah, for it's written, Kol ezrach b'Yisrael yesh b'sukkos. All the natives of Israel shall dwell in sukkos. The pasuk teaches shekol Yisrael ruim leishav b'sukkah achas, that all of Yisrael are fit to sit in one sukkah. Rashi explains that the pasuk implies that the entire nation can fulfill their chiyuv by going into a single sukkah, one person after the other. Daf Chav Ches. So the Zimra Chav Ches is a strong man, koach, a strong man. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more Daf Chav Ches. The strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling over his heavy weights, which reminds us that it was Tana Brisa, Hillel Zaken, and 80 Talmidim, 30 of whom were worthy that the Shekhinah should rest upon them as it did on Moshe Benu, 30 of whom were worthy that the sun should stand still for them as it did for Yeshua ben Nun, and there were 20 who ranked in between them. The greatest of them was Yonas ben Uziel, and the least of them was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. After enumerating all the capabilities of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, that it says about Yonas ben Uziel that when he sat and learned Torah, any bird that flew over him was immediately burned. So the strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling all over his heavy weights,
storm past a group of women eating outside the sukkah, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why we need a halakha l'mushmi sinai to teach that women are patur from sukkah if it's a mitzvah zaseh shazman grama. Abai answered that it's needed, as otherwise one might have thought, teshu kein teduro, the Torah's command, you shall dwell in sukkahs, implies you should dwell in a sukkah the same way you dwell at home. Just as in a home a man and his wife dwell together, so too in a sukkah a man and his wife should dwell together. Rava said that halakha l'mushmi sinai is necessary to exempt women from sukkah, for one might have thought that the gezer shabbat of chamishasar, the link sukkahs to Pesach, comes to teach that just as women are chayv and achilas matzah, even though it's a mitzvah zaseh shazman grama, so too they're chayv and sukkah. So the strong man who was furious when birds kept burning up over a sukkah and falling all over his heavy weights, stormed past a group of women eating outside the sukkah and broke down the door only to find a little old man learning chumash and reviewing Mishnayos. Which reminds us, a braisa describes how a person should make a sukkah dearest keva, such as bringing his nice kalim and beautiful linens to the sukkah, also states, Mishanim Basukkah. He analyzes his Torah learning in the sukkah. The Gemara asks if this is correct, since Rava said that reading Chumash and reviewing Mishnah should be done in the sukkah, but analyzing the Torah can be done outside the sukkah. Rashi explains that the fresh air outside helps one have a clear mind. The Gemara answers that the braisa is referring to reviewing material that he already clarified, whereas Rava is referring to new material. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing a great day and great learning.